today we're going to see into the heart of a worshiper. His name was Moses. Moses worshiped the Lord. Moses was close to God like few people have ever been close to God. Moses knew the Lord. Moses walked with God. Moses saw God do great things. God chose Moses to lead his people out of Egypt. And Moses saw and experienced so many awesome, mighty things with the Lord. We can learn a lot as we open up the heart of Moses and see what was in there, the heart of the worshiper Moses. And it can help us because he's an example. He's a model. Hey, you want to really worship God? This is how you do it. This is what it's about.
This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm Larry Nobles, and we're going to start off today with a great question for you to answer honestly. Do you have the heart of a true worshiper? And here is perhaps a more important question. Do you really want to have a heart of a true worshiper as God defines it? Well, Jeff, as people listen to today's broadcast called The Heart of the Worshiper, I think you'll agree that they need to not mistake worship style for real worship, authentic worship, because I think when you talk about worship, people can and do confuse the two.
This series doesn't talk about style. It talks about the heart, and it talks about being all in and being focused. And as David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And so this series really deals with, hey, are you all in? Are you dealing with God with all your heart? Or are you just kind of, you know, mailing it in? And the Lord knows, and we know when we mail it in. But when we're serious and we really get down to the nitty-gritty and, God, I'm seeking you more than I'm seeking my necessary food, that's when we connect with the Lord.
Well, today on From His Heart, let's begin connecting by first dissecting the spiritual heart of a real Old Testament worshiper in this lesson from Jeff's series, The Heart of Worship, Worshiping God in Spirit and in Truth. Be sure to visit fromhisheart.org if you can't be with us for the entire broadcast today to listen to this message, The Heart of the Worshiper. Now, there's much to learn from God's servant Moses today, so let's get started. Open your Bible to Exodus chapter 33. Here again is Pastor Jeff.
In 1988, I began a brand new job. I had been working as a salesman out of college for a pipe coupling manufacturer. I worked there 2 years and then got a job, an outside sales job with waste management. Worked there for 2 years. And then I got a job with Nalco Chemical Company. And I was all excited because it was quite a promotion. It was quite a raise for me in this job. And Debbie and I were excited about that. And the company was really good. The job was really hard. It's a very technical job. They wanted to get a guy that could sell and could relate to people, but they also wanted to find an engineer. And I wasn't an engineer. So I did better on the relating to people and sales side, and the engineering side was a little hard for me. And for about 6 months in that job, you went through the idiot phase. Has anybody ever experienced that at a job? It's no fun to go through the idiot phase. You know, I mean, I had to go home at night and there were all these lessons I had to do, learn all this stuff. And then during the day, I would ride with the other reps to try and learn things. And my brain was swimming with water chemistry and chillers and boilers and wastewater treatment plants and all the different chemicals we had, scale inhibitors, corrosion inhibitors, microbiocides. And man, we had 750 different products. And it was just like, I felt like my head was like an aquarium. And I had all this stuff in it, and if you bump into me, things are going to spill out. You know, I mean, it's just like, I don't know anything. If you ask me a question other than what is your name, I'm not going to get it right because it's just all jumbled around in there. And it took a while. And one of the things that Nalco did was they realized nobody coming into this job is going to be able to really do this job if you've never done it before. So they would have you ride with other salesmen. And so I did that for several months. And I lived on the north side of town, northwest side of town, and the office was in Sugar Land. It was an hour to get there. And I was like, hey, meet me at the office at 7, and we'll go out. Oh, sure, I'll get up. I'll just come now. I mean, it's one of those things. It was just a long trip to get there at 7. And I would ride with these guys, and I would watch, and I would listen, and I would learn, and they would have me do a little bit more each time. And eventually I got to where I understood, and I was fluent in the language of water treatment. But they didn't throw you to the dogs. They said, you watch this guy. We're going to give you an example representative, and you pile around with him, and you see how he does it, and you learn from him. You know, that's just true in life. That's true in the Christian life. That's how we do it and really learn and grow in the Christian life. It's this thing called discipleship. It's somebody coming alongside of you to say, let me show you how to do this. It's one thing to come to church and you hear sermons and that's great, and you go to Bible studies and you hear lessons, but there's still a question of, I need to see this. I need to see it modeled. One of my favorite poems says this, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather you go with me than merely point the way. The eye is a more ready pupil than ever was the ear. Good advice is often confusing, but example is always clear. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. Well, today we're going to see, in our series on worship, the heart of worship, we're going to see into the heart of a worshiper. His name was Moses. Moses worshiped the Lord. Moses was close to God like few people have ever been close to God. The scripture says about Moses that God spoke to Moses face to face as a man would speak to his friend. Wow, Moses knew the Lord. Moses walked with God. Moses saw God do great things. God chose Moses to lead his people out of Egypt. And Moses saw and experienced so many awesome, mighty things with the Lord. We can learn a lot as we open up the heart of Moses and see what was in there, the heart of the worshiper Moses, and it can help us because he's an example. He's a model. Hey, you want to really worship God? This is how you do it. This is what it's about. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know, Jeff, I haven't been a Christian that long, and I'm kind of wondering, how do you do this thing called Christianity? I'm kind of wondering, as we talk about worship, a lot of these things are new to me, and I want to do it, but I need to see how to do it. I need to see a sermon. So I need to see an example. So that's what we're going to do today as we look into the life of Moses. And here's our question. When you look into the heart of a worshiper, what do you see? Three discoveries from the life of Moses found at an interesting time in his life in the book of Exodus. Discovery number one, a true worshiper has a desire to know God. Now, here's the background so you understand what's going on with Moses as I begin to read this scripture found in Exodus 33. You know, God had done awesome things for his people. They were slaves in Egypt for 400 plus years, and the Lord raised up Moses, and the Lord brought Moses to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And remember Pharaoh, big, bad, full of pride, he said, I don't know the Lord. Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? And then you have set the stage. Anybody that calls God out like that, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? God introduced himself to Pharaoh and said, I'll show you who I am. And it was plague after plague after plague after plague. Finally, Pharaoh said, go, get out of here. You're destroying Egypt. And so they left. And you know the story. They went through, they got to the Red Sea, and they thought their goose was cooked. But God parted the Red Sea, drowned Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea after his people safely crossed. And the people saw so much. They saw God do that with the Red Sea. They ran into difficulties where there was no water to drink, and they found a stream of water, but it was bitter. And then they saw God turn the bitter waters to sweetness. They saw God provide manna. They saw God provide quail out in the desert. They saw God lead Moses to strike a rock, and water gushed out. Like the ocean depths, the Bible says. I mean, just miracle after miracle after miracle. And then, see, they went through the Red Sea, and then they were making their way to Mount Sinai. And what happened on Mount Sinai? That's where God gave Moses the law. That's where he gave him the Ten Commandments, written with the finger of God, the Bible says. And the people experienced God, who is a consuming fire. He scared them to death. And they said to Moses, Moses, you speak to us. Don't let God speak to us, lest we die. I mean, God is, he's just scary. And Moses told him, listen, the Lord doesn't want you to be afraid of him, but he wants you to fear him. He wants you to know that he is the great, the mighty, the awesome God. He's a consuming fire. So you have that reverence, you have that awe. And then he shared with them the word of the Lord. And you know what the people said? All that the Lord has commanded, we will do. We will be obedient. But then Moses was up on the mountain for 40 days. And the people started to say, well, where's this Moses guy? They said to Aaron, Moses' brother, hey, we don't know what's happened to Moses, but we know one thing. We need a God who will go before us. Fashion for us a God. And so they made a golden calf. And they began to worship at the foot of the golden calf, a great, great sin. And when Moses came down from the mountain with the two tablets of stone, he was angry and he threw the tablets at the base of the mountain and they shattered. And he took that calf and he burned it with fire. And then he ground it into powder and he made the Israelites drink it. And people were dying because God was bringing judgment on the people for turning on him after 40 days. It didn't take long at all. And so here is Moses in Exodus chapter 33. The journey now is resuming. They're going to the promised land. That's what they left Egypt for, was to go to the promised land. They had the time at Mount Sinai, but that was just to get the law. And now they're going into the promised land. But there's a problem because the people had sinned so greatly. And Moses comes before the Lord and Moses prays. And in his prayer, that's where you see the heart of the worshiper. A true worshiper has a desire to know God. Look at verse 12. Then Moses said to the Lord, Yahweh, see, you said to me, bring up this people, but you yourself have not let me know with whom you will send with me. Moreover, you have said, I have known you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways, that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people. Moses asked God, Lord, let me know your ways so that I can know you. God, I want to know you. What's in the heart of a true worshiper? A desire to know God. Not to know about him, but to know him. Not to know what God can do, but to know his ways. We have such a contrast in the book of Exodus, especially in this chapter, between Moses and the people. Now, Moses was a true worshiper. So many of those other people, they weren't, because they were just a day ago worshiping the golden calf. Now, you had some, Joshua and Caleb, to name two, who really worshiped the Lord, who were true to the Lord. But so many of them, even Aaron, Moses' brother, who was the priest, he got involved with building the calf, fashioning the calf, and worshiping the calf. So, bad deal. But here's Moses' heart, and he is true, and he wants to know God, and he wants to know his ways. Now, the scripture says in Psalm 103, verse 7, that the Lord made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. His ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. Big difference there. The word for ways is the Hebrew word derek, D-E-R-E-K. It means road, journey, manner, course, pathway. Moses said, God, I want to know your course of action. God, I want to know how you do things. Lord, I want to know your manner. And the road that you go on, let me know your ways. And he prayed for that. And God gave that to him. And God let him know his ways so he would know God, so that Moses would know what makes God tick and how God works and how God thinks and how God processes things and what God will do in a particular situation, because he knew his heart. The Israelites just knew the Lord's acts. They knew that the Lord parted the Red Sea. They knew that God rained down manna. They just saw God's mighty power, but they didn't know his ways. You know, to know someone's ways, you have to get close to that person. You have to really know that person to know their ways. Debbie and I have been married for 25 years. She knows my ways, and I know her ways. And I know what makes her tick, and I know what ticks her off. I just know that about her, and she does with me, and my girls know my ways because we're close. We had a situation one time, this was a few years ago, where Amy's car was parked in our semicircular driveway, and Sarah's car was parked this way. And so Amy's car was going forward, and Sarah's car was going forward, and they were going to bump bumpers if they ran into each other. And so to go, Sarah would have had to back out. But she thought to herself, you know, I think there's enough room here. I could probably slip alongside of Amy's parked car. And so she tried to slip along the side of Amy's parked car and ran into Amy's car and creased her door and messed up Amy's car. And so here they are, big accident right in our driveway, parked car and Sarah. And so Debbie's out there and Amy's out there and like, we got to tell Dad. And Dad's in the study and he's studying. And so they get me and I come out and I look at this and I'm like, I'm just incredulous. I'm like, if I had hair, I would have pulled it out. I'm just looking at the situation and I'm saying, how does this happen? I just don't understand this. The car is parked and you ran into it and you saw it. I just said, I'm going back inside. And you know what? They were outside laughing. Why are you laughing? It's because Sarah had told Amy and Debbie, I know what Dad's going to do. She had me pegged. Dad's going to come out here and he's just going to go, what has happened? And that's exactly what I did. How did she know that? She knows my ways. Do you know God's way? Do you know his manner? Do you know the course of his action? Hey, when you really think about it, do you want to know God's ways or just his acts? Just his acts. He made known his ways to Moses. Why? Because Moses wanted to know his ways, his acts to the sons of Israel. Did you know that you can be involved in a church and be involved in spiritual things and be included and see God do all sorts of great miracles and miss it by a million miles? You can be a part of his acts and still not know him. Did you know that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. For many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Ah, but Lord, I knew your acts, but you didn't know my ways. You didn't know me. And listen, at the heart of a true worshiper is a desire to know God. I don't want to just know about you, Lord. I want to know you heart to heart. So that's the first discovery we see in Moses. He had a heart to know God, to know his ways so that he could know him.
Do you know God's ways or do you know him? There's a difference. Pastor Jeff will be back in just a moment to begin explaining the second discovery that we can make about the heart of this true worshiper named Moses. Stay with us. Now, Jeff has been and will continue to teach about worship all this month. And, you know, Moses was a true worshiper without question. I mean, he had a heart to know God and rest in his presence. Do you have a heart like that? A heart that truly worships God? You're thinking, hey, I could never compare myself to Moses. Well, God would beg to differ. He created you to worship him just like he created Moses to worship God. Here's the point of today's message and all the programs this month. Would you like to better understand how to worship? This month, Pastor Jeff is in a series called The Heart of Worship. And this month, it's one of two special resources that we're offering for your support. For a gift of any amount, we'd like to send you Pastor Jeff's booklet, Real Revival, to help you understand why your worship may not be very exciting and how to rekindle that fire. And for your gift of $30 or more, we'll also send you Jeff's six-message CD series, The Heart of Worship. To make a secure gift online, go to fromhisheart.org or call 1-800-985-1530. That's 1-800-985-1530. And ask for the Real Revival booklet and the Heart of Worship CD series. Well, now let's get back to this special lesson from Jeff called The Heart of the True Worshipper. Here's Jeff.
Second discovery, a true worshiper has a desire for the presence of God. Now, here's the situation. When the people sinned, a terrible, horrible sin by making the golden calf and worshiping the golden calf, God was very angry. It says in Exodus 33, verse 1, then the Lord spoke to Moses, depart, go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought up from the land of Egypt, to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your descendants, I will give it, going to the promised land. Notice this about God. Every time the people messed up, God would tell Moses, they're your people. And then Moses would always come back to God, God, they're your people. So nobody wanted them at that time. You know, it's like, no, that's your kids. No, no, it's your kid. So he said, take up your people, your descendants, and I'll give you the land. And then it says in verse 2, and I will send an angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Basically, anybody whose last name was Ite. He was going to drive them out. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst, because you are an obstinate people, lest I destroy you on the way. When the people heard this sad word, they went into mourning, and none of them put on his ornaments. They didn't wear any jewelry. Hey, it was a sad day. Verse 5, for the Lord had said to Moses, say to the sons of Israel, you are an obstinate people. Should I go up in your midst for one moment, I would destroy you. Now, therefore, put off your ornaments, your jewelry from you, that I may know what I will do with you. God said he wasn't going with them. Hey, you're going to go to the promised land, Moses, but I'm not going with you. I'll send an angel. And here's Moses' prayer. He is saying, God, I want to know you. I want to know your ways. In verse 14, the Lord says to him, my presence shall go with you and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to the Lord, if your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. For how then can it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Remember, Lord, they're your people. Is it not by your going with us so that we, I and your people, may be distinguished from all the other people who are upon the face of the earth? What's going on here? God is saying, I'm not going to go with you. And the people are mourning. And Moses is like, wait a minute. God, if you don't go with us, then we're not going. But the Lord said, well, I'm going to send an angel. And an angel will go with you. Uh-uh. I mean, as nice as it is to have an angel escort to fight all the ites, we don't want to go, and I don't want to go, unless you go. Because, Lord, I don't want the promised land without you. If you're not in that land, then sign me out. I'm not going. And we're not going. It has to be your presence. It's all about your presence, Lord. And that's what we long for. How about for you? Here's the question. Do you desire his presence or his presence? P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. Do you desire God? Or do you desire what God gives you and what God can do for you and God's promised land for you? See, that shows you want to know what is in the heart of a true worshiper. God, I don't want your gifts. If it's your gifts and not you, I want you. The gifts are just a byproduct. The gifts are just a bonus. What I really want you, because it's all about you. And heaven is being with you.
Well, these are valuable insights from Scripture about the inner motivations of a true worshiper. But we're still not finished with this important lesson from the series, The Heart of Worship. Jeff will return on Monday to conclude the lesson, The Heart of the True Worshiper. Again, if you'd like to listen again to today's message, be sure to go online to fromhisheart.org and click the Listen tab. And by the way, there too you can sign up for Jeff's weekly email encouragement. It comes into your inbox every Friday morning. Speaking of real hope, here is Jeff to close out the broadcast today with a Real Hope Minute.
Have you ever been to a really good seminar? Seminars are worth every penny if there's an aha moment, a moment of true enlightenment that really ends up making a lasting difference. Now in life, tough times are never fun. Yet the Bible tells us to consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. Now, why does God tell us to do that? The reason is simple. Trials are a seminar to teach us valuable lessons. They're an opportunity for this enlightened aha moment from the Lord. I don't know what trials you're facing today, but I do know that God has some valuable lessons to teach you through them. Why not thank Him right now for the storm that you're facing? See, this situation is a seminar the Lord has signed you up for to make a difference in this world for Jesus Christ. Now that's real hope.
Well, we're out of time for today, but we trust that you'll join us on Monday for part two of The Heart of the True Worshipper from Jeff's The Heart of Worship series. Join us then as we again open God's Word and learn from His heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Pastor Jeff Shreve. He believes that no matter how badly you may have messed up in life, God still loves you and has a wonderful plan for you. Find out more about that plan when you go to fromhisheart.org.